Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have two extra special returning guests from the Doughboys podcast. It's Mike Mitchell and Nick Weiger.
Yay.
Hey.
Hi.
We're here.
Oh my God. It finally happened. People have been begging for it. They're like, get them both on this show at the same time. And today's the day.
We're finally going to answer that question everyone has in their mind. Are the Lakers or are the Celtics better?
Yeah.
Wow.
We will have a conclusion.
Settle it for good this episode.
How are you guys doing?
Good. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird time to be alive, as everyone knows. We don't have to tell you that. I will say, as a basketball fan, as of this recording, we're on the cusp of the bubble is happening. Everyone, you know, I assume listeners are following the NBA, so you know about the bubble. We know that the season is going to finally, or what remains of the season, this fake mini season and then postseason is going to occur.
Fake mini season?
It's like a fake mini season. It's not a real season. It's like it's not the whole league, and it's 10 games. It's a weird hybrid of like the end of the regular season into the postseason.
It's not fake though. I mean the they're using the team's records. It makes sense.
Yeah, but it's just weird.
It's weird
for everyone.
It's weird.
Look, I'm not denying that it's weird. Of course it's weird.
You're fixating on the word fake. It's not, don't call it fine. It's not fake, but it's strange.
Is there anything this year that hasn't been weird? It's the weirdest year on earth, of course, but
that's true.
It is truly the weirdest year ever.
We began with Harry and Meghan Markle leaving the royal family. How weird was that?
It does not get weirder than that.
Yeah, that was
Holy
this year.
Shit. Oh, wow. My God. How are you guys feeling about the bubble in general?
I said,
I don't know.
I said this to Nick, and I do kind of mean this sincerely. I was like the players in the NBA are heroes because everyone is probably just mentally exhausted and there's a lot of mental anguish. There's a lot going on. People are just not feeling great. So literally they are heroes. I know that there's also issues of whether this is safe or not of playing in the bubble. And we want everyone to not get sick and get coronavirus, but they are for real. I think it is heroic. I truly do think it's like a heroic act that they're doing.
They're sacrificing a lot to be there.
Yeah, to do it. I think it is that funny thing of like people are like they shouldn't play or whatever, which I get. And I think the NBA is doing the best job of taking precautions and actually trying to do something, which it feels like other like the MLB, like MLB and NFL. NFL's not doing anything.
NFL's not doing anything. MLB is really? Like playing in home stadiums, which is bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, weird.
No bubble.
So like the NBA is actually, it feels like they're taking the most precautions. They're doing the most. And I hope it works because I think that it will be hopeful for the country if it works. So
yeah,
there's a lot that's riding on it. I mean, like I also get people who will be like, you asshole, like they shouldn't play at all. And I'd be like, yeah, no, I get that side of it too. Like if you're saying that everyone should just be inside and we should be safe. Sure, I get that too, but I do think that it's going to give a lot of people hope, and just to be able to watch something and be excited about something again is going to be great. So
everyone's starved for entertainment, and I think Mitch is right. There are a lot of people looking for any sort of escape. But I think the NBA is doing this in the most responsible way you could, but it also is inherently irresponsible. So it's like, I think they maybe, they're taking every precaution, or they're taking like a maximalist approach towards precautions, but also they should just shut down the league and take the financial hit. It doesn't make sense that they're doing it. That said, I will be watching it probably obsessively. I'll right. watch some bullshit Wizards Kings game with zero stakes just to see live sports again.
Yeah. See, you know. It's funny you say that because I know that a lot of this is probably a financial decision, but for me it does kind of go into entertainment is important. It's clearly important. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
People are like literally losing their minds being at home and having nothing to do.
And how many podcasts can they listen to?
Between us, they've got two.
between us, we have one, not ours.
I do kind of feel like, hopefully, I don't know, but the best case scenario is that people stay home more because they're watching
sure
sports right. or entertainment or whatever. Like, that would be great. Like, let's just have everyone stay home more. I do agree that it is irresponsible for them to do it at all, the NBA.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, understand, you know, I get why they're I get that they want to do it for money. I get that people want them to do it for entertainment. It's all understandable, but it's also just so scary. And if anyone is like irreparably, you know, hurt from this, like if their career ends, even mm-hmm. let alone, you know, their life, like that would right. be really rough.
Oh, for
and,
sure.
And, yeah, yeah. And you're also, you're dealing with in it on top of that, you're dealing with, you know, the, people who work for the league, people who work for teams, right. Mm-hmm. coaches, some front office may be exposed. My trainers. Big fear is that trainers, yes. My big fear is that some dipshit owner like Tillman Fertitta is going to like break the bubble because he wants to be in there and wants to be in the locker room or something like that. And he'll just have just been on like David Geffen's yacht and he'll fucking be an asymptomatic COVID carrier
right.
and give it to a bunch of players. And you know, I feel like some owner is going to do something really, really stupid at some point because they always do.
Hey,
and they think
Wags.
They're invincible.
Yeah.
Hey, Wags.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard, Laker player, caught the other day maskless.
Look, Dwight doesn't always have the best judgment. He's had a very good season. I was against him joining the Lakers because he was on the Lakers previously and he really fucked things up. But he Dwight does Mayer. Seem to have turned a corner.
Oh, so you flip-flopped once he did something for you.
I think Dwight, because of the season he had, earns the right to not wear a mask once.
Wow. That's
did
a
you see him at that DJ pool party and he was the only one himself. That showed up?
He went live on Instagram just by himself.
He's like, which this is great. I'm having a good time. And there's like no one else there.
Which is really saying something that like, it seems like one of the only things they could do, right? Is like in the bubble. Yeah. I'm sure there's other things, but like everyone just was like, no, we're going to stay in our hotel rooms.
I'm assuming there was a secret party that he just didn't get an invite to.
He wasn't invited to.
So he was like, okay, got to go to the NBA sponsored DJ thing where all of my friends are going to be.
They're having a secret ping pong tournament or something.
Right. I think there's also a side of like just there's such a we forget how young so many NBA players are that maybe just a bunch of people were just playing Fortnite on Xbox One, you know?
100%.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. They're not at that point yet where they're getting stir crazy.
Right.
Well, Dwight was also one of the people who was kind of talked about not coming back, but I think his was more for social reasons, correct, Nick?
So Dwight has a family member, I believe it's his uncle, who works in the Atlanta DA's office and so was involved in some, I believe it's the Atlanta DA's office and has been involved in some, you know, civil rights cases and some police brutality cases. So it is something of a personal cause for Dwight, but I think he's also, you know, being just a little bit socially conscious and aware. I get it's just like the convergence of these two things happening at once,
mm-hmm. right.
which is dominating our national conversation. And then it also being, you know, and then the NBA is I get what you're saying about it just it giving people something to watch and something to look forward to and to feel hope to invest their hopes in, but it's just the spectacle feels very, very grim right now.
For sure.
Well, I was saying the players themselves are heroes. I wasn't saying that the
yes. NBA, no, I got I what you're saying.
Saying the NBA not... owners.
My hero.
The DeVosses are the real heroes.
Yeah. They're not heroes. I think the players for going back and taking this risk are the ones who are heroes.
I agree. Yeah. And we've talked because we're very anti starting the bubble on this show, and people will call us out and say, well, are you going to still watch the games? Because then you're a hypocrite. But it's like, if we don't watch the games, then they're risking their lives for nothing, and we want to support the players. Like,
yeah,
this is not a support of this decision. It's support of the players that we care about, and we want to see them succeed. And hopefully this, you know, it doesn't blow up into some huge thing, and it's just it just works out the way that they're planning it works out.
Well, there's also another side of this where. Nick, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
I was just going to say, as co-hosts of a chain restaurant podcast, I think we know that like there's no ethical way to engage in any of that. Like, it's just like you're going to be even if you're the most conscientious NBA fan possible. And, you know, the NBA is, I guess, the most progressive of the pro sports leagues, or, you know, seems to be the most progressive. You're still putting money in the pockets of some deeply evil people by being a patron of it. And it's the same sort of thing if you're getting like a Domino's pizza or going to Wingstop. So it's just so
every form of consumption is problematic in some way.
Yeah, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism. It's a systemic thing. So I think it's one for me. Again, you know, maybe this is my get out of jail free card because I'm engaging in the same behavior. But for me, that there's not a contradiction in saying I think the season probably should not resume. I think the bubble is probably irresponsible, but I will still watch it because I'm a fan of the league. Mm-hmm, like, yeah. I think that's consistent. Yeah.
And I think if something horrible happens, like, you know, there probably is a point where it's like, I can't watch this anymore. You know, if someone were to get really ill or someone were to die anything like super fucked up that happens and that they'd still try to push forward with, you know, the plan.
Yes.
Obviously we're not gonna keep going, but like right now we're just tentatively like we hope that it works out well. That's all we can do.
I gotta say that I think that because the orange buffoon is in office and everything is and wearing a mask has become political, which is fucking so stupid.
It's
and
so
insane.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest shit on earth. But it's that sort of thing of I agree with everything you guys say too, but I'm also kind of like, well, it is interesting to try to test things out and see how we can make the world work and be safe. You know what I mean? And maybe this is a way where they're going to try it out and it's not going to be safe at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I think you're right that that's not worth risking lives for, but also it will if this works out and it and no one gets hurt, it will be like some sort of progress, which will be hopeful, you know what I mean, which makes it more than just the games or whatever too. It kind of gives some
sort of what you're saying, because then they could like use the plan that they like the frequent testing and the rings and like all that shit that they could but you know that's never going to be implemented nationwide because of
for sure
issues.
And like, is that ever worth like using human test subjects basically? No, I mean it's not.
Yeah,
so but you
especially
know
especially
like,
majority black test subjects,
right?
Like, that's
yeah.
Like,
sure, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Another huge part of the issue.
Nick, you made a good point too, that the only plus side is that a lot of these guys who have gotten coronavirus seem to be almost asymptomatic. They're in great shape and it doesn't seem to affect them, but we still don't even know what the
effects
are.
Well, except for Rudy Gobert, he's still sick. He's still having symptoms.
Rudy Gobert is still sick?
He's still having symptoms.
He has, he still can't smell or taste, and he still has like muscle aches and stuff.
dear God.
Yeah.
It's so crazy that so many people were like, I just want to get it. Remember that phase?
Yeah. I mean, that my parents are saying it. Like,
that's insane.
I think it's like Fox News talking points of like, everyone needs to get it and then we're going to be fine. But it's like, there's no science to back that up at all. It's just like Fox News bullshit.
I've never wanted to get it. I've never wanted that virus. I don't want it either.
I've been inside my house for 4 months. I don't want it.
I know.
Guys, I've been trying to get it.
Nick, no.
Nick is a bit of he's a bug chaser in many ways.
I mean,
and there's no science to back up the fact that if you get it, you can't get it again. Like that shit. It's so idiotic. It makes
especially because we
angry.
Don't know how it's mutated and like there's anyways. Don't
this
trust
is not
us.
A coronavirus podcast, but
yeah,
maybe
don't
it
trust
will
us
be.
On the science. Like, actually, you know, there's really good podcasts about that. Like, this podcast will kill you. Go listen to them. But that being said, I think the bubble does kind of bring up a lot of, like you were saying, Mitch, like a lot of good, you know, brings up a lot of good questions of like, how, if this is just our life for the next, like, let's say 2 years or something, like, how are certain things going to be able to, sorry, Nick, I didn't mean to.
Bummed Nick out.
if this is our life for the next, if this is our lives for the next 2 years, that this is bad. Yeah, it's bad news.
Yeah.
But that was the Spanish flu, you know, it was like 2 years. So I feel like it's possible.
Fuck.
I think I have to, you know, one thing I'll say about the bubble is that we're as NBA fans and as human beings, you have to hope for that nothing catastrophic happens and that it all just kind of works out. But it at least for me isn't there a side of it where it's like, well, if it does work out, isn't that like a skeptic's talking point? Is it, if it does, isn't that, doesn't that just turn to, see, this is no big deal.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point.
And,
yeah.
And that's kind of a bummer too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all that's laughed true. At the movie Bubble Boy in 2000.
Right.
2004? When
was
that?
Not a comedy.
Maybe we should get bubbles like that. Has anyone talked about this?
Yeah, has anyone talked to
there hasn't
Jake
been a,
Gyllenhaal?
There has not been a lot of Bubble Boy conversation.
Let's get it rolling. We could like hold Anastasia and I could hold hands through two bubbles.
Finally, that would be
finally.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
I just want to give each of you at the top of the show a chance to state your team's case. So maybe we'll give you like 2 minutes each or less. We'll start with you, Nick. Why are the Lakers the best team?
Wow. Great question. So the argument for the Lakers over the Celtics, and I will say, rank them how you got them, it is those two competing for the greatest franchise in NBA history. There's really no one else who has, there's no other franchise that has a case. Everyone else's periods of dominance were comparatively brief. But the case for the Lakers is, if you think of modern NBA basketball, what we think of as basketball, and I don't mean that the analytics 3-point shooting sort of stuff. I mean, just like the league in general, the league as we know it today. I'm not specifically focused on post 2010s optimized basketball. That comes from the NBA-ABA merger. And if you look at the two franchises' success since the NBA-ABA merger, the Lakers, if you look at all, if you look at the whole league, the Lakers are the ones with the most titles and the most prolonged periods of success. Now, the 2010s were pretty grim for the Lakers, but if you're comparing them to the Celtics had some pretty grim lean stretches as well. You know, post Larry Bird, the Celtics were not in good shape. They weren't doing well really until the big trade that brought Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett back into town. The team wasn't really contending. Meanwhile, the Lakers have the Magic Johnson, the Magic and Kareem era, 5 titles in the 80s. The Shaq and Kobe era, 5 titles in the 2000s, 10 titles over a 30-year stretch, and then the 2010s reasserting their relevance towards the end of the decade with the acquisition of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The team is on the road to success again. They very well may well win. They very well may win another title. But I think if you look at specifically success, the case of the Lakers is success since the NBA ABA merger. And if you look at them, it's the Lakers, and the only other team that maybe has a case is the San Antonio Spurs. But the Lakers have done it for a longer stretch and won more titles.
Great,
Nick. I mean, argument. I don't even have this.
This is like debate team.
The Lakers fans always bring up the NBA ABA merger because they know that the Celtics just have them beat. The Celtics have more titles, Nick.
It's 17 titles versus 16 titles. Yes, they have one. Also, they have one more title.
May I quickly ask how many of your titles were won while your team was in Minneapolis?
The first five or so titles, I think, were won in the early mm-hmm. days of the NBA when the team was in Minneapolis. But I'll just say, like, it's a very different game. If we're talking the 1950s through into the 1970s, like, it was just a different game. It was a different way of basketball, and the 10 of the Celtics titles came in the 1960s. I mean, just a different time.
The Celtics are the most successful NBA team of all time. Their run in the 60s is unlike anything anyone's ever done in the NBA to this day. Where they won how many titles in 10 years? 8? I don't know if that's correct. 7? 8?
It's somewhere in that range. They had, I mean, I thought it was 10, but there was a year or two where they didn't win.
There was a year or two. I think maybe they won 8. Anyways, the 80s, they were pretty dominant, Nick. They won 3 titles in the 80s. And in the 90s, they hit a hard stretch, but they were hit with some awful misfortune. Len Bias died. Reggie Lewis died. They had some weird things happen to them as a team. In the 90s, were honestly the stretch where they did the worst. And then, of course, they came back in 2007. They won a title, and they've been competing ever since. Nick, I just think that they're, when you think about basketball, I think you think about the Boston Celtics.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
Powerful.
The Lakers are flashy. They're located in Los Angeles. People want to go there to play because it's Hollywood. Boston, people don't like as much. They don't want to go and play in Boston. So Los Angeles has that advantage over the Celtics as well.
So your case for the Celtics being the best franchise is that people don't like Boston as much?
You guys have an unfair advantage, Nick.
The Lakers have attracted some marquee free agents, but most of the team's success is through the draft and through trades. You know, yes, Shaq was acquired through free agency. Kobe Bryant was a trade. Pau Gasol was a trade. Kareem was a trade. It's like the team's success comes through a capable front office and just having great players and great coaching staff.
Do you think that there were any shenanigans that went on between the Kings and the Lakers when the Lakers beat the Sacramento Kings?
What do you mean? Do you think was there any ref hanky panky? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Nick.
I think that David Stern has always done what's good for the league. If that includes rigging a playoff series, he's made the right call. I think the NBA draft lottery is rigged. I do buy into that conspiracy theory, and I think it has been rigged into the Lakers' favor. And you know what? I think that's good. More rigging.
Yeah, of course you do. And Nick, guess what team it's rigged for on the East Coast? Not the Celtics, the fucking New York Knicks.
Yeah, let's see what they've done with it.
Yeah, they blow it continually.
All right, let's move on. We're not going to come to an agreement here.
Great arguments on both sides. We will.
But yes, wait. My basic argument is that people don't like Boston, and so it's
all right. Okay. Well,
it seems like a lot of people like Boston. They're mostly from there, but
yes.
They like the people who like Boston can't talk about anything except how much they like Boston.
Oh, relax. You liked Boston when you went.
I had an okay time.
So this week, I just want to
quickly say that the Celtics have Red Auerbach is one of the best coaches and GMs in the history of the game. Nick, I think that you can agree with that. And he spent all that time with the Celtics. You guys had Phil Jackson, but a ton of his success came from the Bulls, of course. Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's the nature of the league. It's rare when you have like a Popovich or a Tim Duncan who spends their entire career, but you know, with one franchise, but you know, someone who did, Kobe Bryant, you know, someone else who did, Magic Johnson. There are some lifers with the Lakers organization.
We also would have beat you more in the 80s if Larry Bird hadn't been mowing lawns, his mom's lawn. This is the truth. He mowed his mom's lawn.
So if he hadn't been a nice boy, is that what you're saying?
If he hadn't been a nice boy, he was mowing lawns.
If his favorite pastime wasn't various tasks that would injure his own back. Just
his
like,
back,
you know,
was already hurting.
So this week we watched a game from June 6, 1984. So let's find out what was going on in the world and the NBA around that time in Previously on Basketball.
Previously on Doughboys.
Basketball.
Where did you get that from?
From the first episode this year, I think, when you guys had a cliffhanger about Yusong's death.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, I heard that
Did
before.
Did we resolve that? I think we forgot to resolve that.
I think we maybe just didn't do anything. Yeah. We didn't do anything with it. Oh, well. That was me, huh? Nick, I thought that was you, but that was me, I think.
Was it speaking. You?
I don't think so. I think it was Nick.
Oh, it was Wagger?
does your voice in your head sound like me?
Hold on. Let's hear it again.
Previously on Doughboys.
Basketball.
That's definitely Nick.
I think that's me.
It's definitely Nick. It's 100% Nick.
I'm almost 100% sure that that's me.
Well, there's no way to resolve this mystery.
You don't remember recording
Gabe,
it?
Gabe, one more time.
Previously on Doughboys.
Basketball.
That's me.
I think it was
no,
me.
No, it's not. It's Nick.
No, it's me.
It's clearly Nick.
Nick, I recorded the previously on Doughboys.
I'm gonna that use was that me. One too.
Yeah. Yeah, slot that one in where what we were just listening to really confused people.
Man. All right, let's whoosh me in. Michael Jordan is chosen third overall in the 1984 NBA draft, along with number one pick Hakeem Olajuwon and number five pick Charles Barkley. Donald Sterling moves the Clippers from San Diego to Los Angeles without league authorization and receives a $25 million fine. Actor Brandon Scott Jones from The Good Place is born on this very day in Bel Air, Maryland. The top movie is Star Trek III: The Search for Spock. But its reign is short-lived as Ghostbusters comes out tomorrow and will spend 7 weeks at the top of the box office. Topping the music charts is Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams. Software engineer Alexei Pachitov releases the first version of Tetris in the Soviet Union. Larry Bird is named the NBA's most valuable player. So we talked about this a little bit while we were watching the game, but what were you guys doing around June 6, 1984?
Nick, it was Nick's senior prom.
I'm 2 years older than you.
I was a little baby boy. We were discussing things I might have been doing while we were watching the game, which includes messing my diaper and
poo-pooing your pants
and possibly breastfeeding. That's basically the two, and which I think is sick. Fucking sick shit.
You were a freak even at that age, right?
Wow.
Guys, I just got confirmation that was me who said previously.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep.
Wait, play it again. It definitely sounds like Nick. Am I crazy?
Previously on Doughboys.
Basketball.
That's Nick. That's definitely Nick.
How did you get confirmation? You were looking at your phone.
Yeah, I was looking at my phone, of course. I looked up previously on, and I sent an audio clip to Emma.
Wow. Was that you doing an impression of me?
No, it was me doing a previously on Doughboys.
Previously on Doughboys.
I can't tell.
Maybe it was you.
Previously on Doughboys.
Basketball.
Really sounds like Nick.
Well,
it really sounds like Nick.
We
it
know
really
I does. Definitely am the one who said basketball. So
you said basketball. Yeah. This is also this falls under the category of me being like, we should do a story of you song doing whatever, and Nick being like, yeah, okay, do whatever you want to do, buddy. And then I mean, when it comes to nonsense like that, Nick, I think you're like, if you want to make more work, go and do it yourself.
Right. And then you didn't.
All right. let's talk about the Clippers. They moved from San Diego to Los Angeles in an unauthorized move. And apparently they had a mascot. Rude. Apparently they had a mascot when they first moved, and his name was Sam Dunk. Can we take a look at Sam Dunk?
This I gotta see. Wow. So this looks like Donald Sterling.
Yeah, it looks like Sterling.
It looks like a Muppet of Donald Sterling.
Yeah, it is just like a middle-aged guy with a Clippers hat. That's the most half-assed mascot.
It really
looks
is.
Like a Clippers fan.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I like his jersey.
Wog's throwing some shade at Clippers fans. Oh. They look like this guy.
I don't think this guy
moved to he moved to LA at age 25 after graduating from an Ivy League, took a job in a TV writer's room, and became a Clippers fan.
Wow, you're really gonna piss some people off with that one. I think Sam Dunk should have stuck around. That's all I'll say about that.
It's a great name. Sam Dunk is awesome.
Can we bring him back? He'll do like some little stunts with Chuck the Condor. They can
he's got like a walker and like can't get across the court.
Oh wow, he's aged.
Yeah,
that would be a big innovation in mascots. A mascot who ages in real time and eventually dies of old age.
That's so sad.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, I'd
let's
see
it happen.
let's watch this scene from Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah, I know what's
our
coming.
Our favorite scene.
During the quarantine, I watch this scene daily.
Dan Aykroyd is getting a blowjob from a ghost.
This scene is so long.
It's so weird.
He's going cross-eyed.
His eyes are crossing.
So our question is, when you get a blowjob, do your eyes go cross-eyed?
Is that normal?
I think...
I'm just joking. It's not a real question.
You don't have to answer.
No, it's the most realistic part of the scene.
No. God, I wasn't going to answer you. I think it's weird that Aykroyd is so immediate. Like, he was just like immediately just got hard.
Yeah. He was into it.
That ghost babe was hot.
He immediately was in the mood to do it.
Yeah. If I saw a ghost, like any sort of ghost in my room, I think I'd be, it doesn't matter how attractive they are, I'd be so scared. Like, I'd just be like terrified. I'd want to get out of there. And he just sort of like lies still and takes it.
I think my wiener would shoot up into my wiener would shoot up into my body. I'd be fucking scared as hell.
By the way, rewatching that scene.
Wally.
Oh, Wally.
Mitch's cat is in frame.
I'm also laid back like a Jabba the Hutt. I look like shit.
Rewatching that scene, it's like there's a lot that you have to make a big mental leap to him that he's getting dome, because you see the ghost, the lady ghost hovering over him, and then it cuts to just like a close up of his belt getting unbuckled, but you're not seeing any sort of like presence there. It's just like it's being unbuckled on its own, and then you cut to his face getting and his eyes crossing. It's like we don't know exactly what's transpiring. Like, you kind of have to assemble it in your head. But who knows? Who knows what could be happening?
Yeah, that's true.
That's, I mean, you're absolutely right. What do you mean,
who knows what could be happening?
Maybe he's being rimmed. Maybe, you know, maybe she has a strap on and he's into that. He's being pegged.
It's up to our imagination. Balls are just being
crushed in her fist. That would explain the crossed eyes.
That, yeah, that would make more sense, I think.
But it is weird that this is like, you know, I guess a kid's movie, right? It was marketed to kids. And this is, you know, I understand them not wanting to show a BJ in progress, but also why is this in the movie in the first place?
It doesn't really make any sense. It's,
it does not.
Yeah. I think it's just a joke for mom and dad, but it's so.
I think this is just the 80s where movies were just made it wasn't like this is for the kids. That I feel like Ghostbusters is just like a movie.
It was for everyone.
It's just a movie that they made for everyone, and then kids loved it too. You know what I mean? Like
your four quadrant picture.
Yeah.
True.
Let's watch this clip of Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Oh, I love this song. A child in a tuxedo is dancing.
Wow. I had no idea this was a music video. This kid rules.
He looks like a magician.
You guys were questioning what Weiger was up to, and now you have your answer.
Fuck, I wish it was that kid. That'd be my proudest achievement. Good.
What a cool kid.
He's like wearing Mr. Peanut cosplay doing this this song and dance number. He looks great.
Mr. Peanut cosplay is now a tux with a cap.
Yeah, he's got the top hat. He's got the tails. He's got the little cane.
He's got a fistful of peanuts. Like, what else do you need?
Mr. Peanut, doesn't Mr. Peanut just have the top hat and like a tie? Isn't he nude?
Oh, what? Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, but he's
a monocle.
He's regal. Yeah, he's got a monocle.
Let's see here. Let's bring him up. What does Mr. Peanut look like?
No, you're right.
He's got a full tux in some of these.
He's wearing a tux in these like weird 3D versions.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are newer. He's got the cane. Yeah. He has monocle. A cane.
He's wearing spats and gloves.
And we're also seeing in this Google search. Nut. Yeah, we're seeing some shots of Baby Nut, who is maybe responsible for this whole year.
Nick, oh, you're right.
Oh my Nick, God, you're right.
Nick, you Nick. Oh, never mind.
You have to say it.
I was gonna say, I bet you wish that kid was dressed like Mr. Peanut.
All right. Jesus Christ. Can I just say this was a big year. I mean, you mentioned we looked at Sam Dunk, which was the biggest NBA news. But the other things. The Clippers moving to LA, obviously, ultimately a momentous, you know, momentous shift. But Walker, also,
what do you dislike more? I'm gonna let you go on with this. But what do you like dislike more, Celtics fans or Clippers fans?
Fans, Celtics fans.
Wow, really?
Yeah, they're jerks. Clippers Jesus, fans right. are just like, eh, whatever. Celtics fans are jerks.
Yeah, we're whatever.
We're,
apathy.
We're jerks. We're jerks.
You're jerks.
I know for a fact that off this podcast, you hate Clippers fans.
My stance is towards one of them. It's like this is a bitter rival, and towards the other one, this is like an annoying little brother. That's the way I think of it. So, like, yeah, I'm going to hate the Celtics more. If the Clippers ultimately ascend and it becomes, if there's like a Lakers Clippers Western Conference Finals or something like that, you know, that everyone speculated about, if that becomes an ongoing rivalry, then that'll be one thing. But the Clippers have yet to get over the hump, and they have yet to really feel like they're a real threat to me. Whereas the Celtics are a perennial threat, and there's nothing that gets me more riled up than the prospect of the Celtics winning another title. Because that means that the Celtics have the gap. The Lakers have almost closed the gap in terms of titles, and the Celtics will then just put some more distance between the franchises. Yeah, I don't. I dislike the Celtics more.
I should have had you argue my case for why the Celtics are the best team.
But, I I honestly don't know if being called a jerk or being called annoying is more offensive.
I think that Clippers fans should be annoyed by it because they're like the Lakers fans are dismissive of them. But Nick, what were you going to say before I cut you off?
Oh, I was just going to say that the 84 draft, legendary draft. I mean, like you mentioned, the Hall of Famers that came into the league, including Michael Jordan, the most important NBA player of all time and arguably the greatest. But also this finals that we're going to be discussing is the matchup that really put the NBA on the map, which is Magic versus Bird. This is them meeting in the NBA finals for the first time, I believe. And it was just a gigantic year in basketball history.
Like this year with Michael coming into the league and with this rivalry taking place is probably what, you know, just skyrocketed basketball to popularity in the United States and internationally.
Right. Or at least began like accelerated the ascent. It's huge.
So Tetris, let's look at what the original Tetris looked like.
Tetris.
Oh wow. I've never seen this before. So this looks like what we're looking on a two color green and black. I assume this is some sort of Soviet monitor because we've got Cyrillic script in the corner. We're seeing the earliest iteration of Tetris, and what's interesting, instead of four block pieces, there are eight block pieces.
Right. That's weird.
Wow.
Someone gave Pajitnov the note. They're just like, half as many blocks. He's like, I'll try it.
That's wild, but it worked out.
Tetris, the first bridge for my mom and I, for like my mom was like, I got a Game Boy. I don't even know how old I was when, like, you know, around when it came out.
Yeah.
And she loved Tetris. And it was like kind of like it bridged a gap of like my mom being like, video games are like annoying thing my son likes. And then she like really she would take the Game Boy away from me and be playing Tetris in her bed at nighttime. Yeah. I remember
my whole family loved it. My whole family was into Tetris.
Yeah, it was so the first, you know, like to both of your points, it was like the first game that non-gamers were playing and
crossover.
The first, and outside of the arcades at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first home game that really had that sort of appeal. A four quadrant game in the same way that Ghostbusters was a four quadrant movie.
this was a four quadrant year.
If you beat Tetris, Alexei Pajitnov gets sucked off by a ghost.
I want to give a shout out to one of our donors for our GoFundMe, John Carlson. First of all, what's up? Second of all, thank you. And third of all, you rule. Thank you so much for donating, being a listener and supporter. We love you. Bye.
This week, we watched the Boston Celtics at the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 4 of the NBA Finals on June 6, 1984. Let's meet the boys.
Let's meet the boys.
Come on, let's meet the boys. Well, great group of guys.
So that was Mitch.
Mitch, did you recognize your voice there?
I did. But I was trying to figure out where I said that.
On your last episode.
I said, let's meet the boys on our last episode?
On the last time you were on Dunktown.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant Doughboys. I was like, oh my God.
No. Just what kind don't of remember, boys don't, are you trying to meet?
and just like not remembering fucking anything of what we record.
I get that totally. All right, for the Boston Celtics. We have Dennis Johnson, Larry Bird, Cedric Maxwell, Robert Parrish, Gerald Henderson, off the bench Kevin McHale, Danny Ainge, and Quinn Buckner, head coach Casey Jones, and mascot Lucky the Leprechaun.
That not yet, actually. I mean, he always is in a way. But.
Wait, he wasn't. Oh, yeah, you were saying that before. There was no
lucky man at that point.
Got it.
And on the Lakers. Magic, Kobe, a Lakers sound. We have starters, Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Michael Cooper, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Kurt Rambis. Off the bench, we had Bob McAdoo, Sven Nader, and Jamal Wilkes. And head coach is Pat Riley. Currently, the Lakers lead the series 2-1 before this game. That song, by the way, was by past
friend of the
guest,
show,
friend of the show, Joey Dosick.
Do you know him, Nick? Are you guys Lakers friends?
I know of Joey, but I don't know him personally. But I know he's a big, I know he's a big Laker head.
He's great. He's great, and he writes songs about the Lakers. So, I mean, it seems like a perfect friendship to me. let's get into the game. That's new and chaotic.
I liked it.
That's by Andrew Bear, who does our theme song, I believe, right, Gabe?
Correct.
Okay. Wait,
sounds great.
Before we get to the game, can I just quickly say that people don't like Boston anymore, and we brought it upon ourselves. Like, it was like we overexposed ourselves. Like, there was just too much. There was too much Boston stuff going on for a while. And, you know, like, The Departed was great, but then, like, The Departed was great, but then just, like, every, like, stupid reality show and, like, just everything that happened with Boston, there was just too much Boston. There was too much of it.
You know, I think did it, Mitch?
What's that?
Ted 2.
You think Ted 2 was, like, the tipping point?
Yeah, the first Ted, everyone, like, people were still on board, but when it was Ted 2, then everyone was like, all right, I'm done with Boston.
You know what? That is funny. I think I know that you were 100% joking, but I now actually like this theory. Ted 2, like, people didn't even like Ted 2, right? People
Ted 1. Definitely not.
Definitely not.
I did not like Ted 1, but is Ted 2 the one where he steals Tom Brady's, like, sperm?
Yeah.
Yeesh.
What? I did not watch that.
Like, Ted goes to, like, jack off Tom Brady for real.
Oh my god, I gotta watch it. I gotta add it to my list.
I know, this actually sounds better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Too much bot. You know, we brought it on ourselves, and the Patriots won for so long. You know, it's just an issue. So
I think the salient point, I think, from a sports perspective, Mitch, is that the Boston was, like, for so long, it was like the Patriots, the Celtics, we're good, but the Patriots sucked. The Red Sox obviously could never win a title. And then when you had that period in the 2000s when just, like, and I don't know anything about hockey, but I do know that of the three major sports in the U.S., it's like the Boston was just dominating.
Yeah.
And even the one Celtics title, but still the Celtics were in the conversation for a big part of you know, the 2000s, the 2010s. So,
yeah.
It's I think that's people started to hate Boston more than they already did, partly because they were so good. They're so sports dominant.
It's that funny thing of, yeah, there was a flip. Like, if you remember, like, Yankees are, like, one of the worst teams of all time. And then, like, people almost started to feel like the way about the Red Sox or wherever that they feel about the Yankees. But
right.
It's just as a thing of we were the lovable losers for so long, and the Celtics were the one franchise. I mean, the Bruins too, but the Celtics were like, that was like Boston's team, like Boston's winners. You know what I mean?
Right. And so, that was the exception.
And people do not like anyone who wins too much.
That's 100%. True.
So both, you know, there's probably a lot of people who, I was just saying that before we started, because I'm like, so many people are going to like the Lakers more than the Celtics at the end of this podcast. But maybe it's just two teams that are kind of universally hated also, Nick.
Well, I think that's the other thing about that the Lakers, until the Warriors, I think the Lakers were kind of enemy number one. Because a lot of people hated Kobe, RIP. A lot of people didn't hate Shaq, but they hated that team was dominant.
Right.
And I think also people hate LA just in general. Like, think it's just like fuck LA.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Lakers being good, I think they were the most hated franchise for a long time. No one really hated the Bulls in the same way. I mean, there were franchises like the New York fans and the
Detroit.
And Detroit fans, the Pistons fans, like, really hated the Bulls. But but it wasn't league-wise. It wasn't like, oh, fuck the Bulls, in the same way that people were towards the Warriors and the Lakers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry for that detour.
No, it's fine. So going into this game, you know, the Lakers are up 2-1, which means that the Celtics have to win.
This is the series here, this game. If the Lakers win this, they're going to win the series.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And this game is in LA. So mm-hmm. Lakers have, you know, they're up 2-1 at home.
They have an advantage.
So it's a, yeah.
Mitch pointed out that there was a lot of empty seats right at the beginning of the game.
Everyone was just getting their hot dogs, okay?
This is typical of a lot of NBA games. Isn't specific to the Lakers. They have this start time. You know what it is? Is the Lakers fans have jobs they were at. They had they had to come from work.
Yes, yeah.
To the stadium.
To the floor seats? Yeah. Wow.
No, Nick, this is good. The rest of the country will agree with you that the Los Angeles work is so much more important.
We were talking earlier about how important entertainment was. These people were working hard at record companies and movie studios.
Later on, we did see Jack Nicholson take his seat.
It's true.
And
looks so fucking cool.
He did look cool. He had sunglasses on indoors, which I think is something he did a lot or Alpha does move. Still.
Yeah. All these 80s people who worked in entertainment, the least problematic people of all time. All these people are just great, great folks. It's a bunch of great folks.
I hesitate to say anything good about anybody.
I know.
In case we get canceled later for it.
Yeah. We've had a couple instances where as soon as we plug someone, they get canceled. So you always got to keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
No plugs for us at the end of the show.
Just be careful who you plug, because it reflects back on you. One of my biggest takeaways immediately is how tiny the shorts of this game are, and I'm into it. I've mentioned on the show many times, I want the shorts to be smaller. I think it helps them play.
I think we're headed in that direction.
They grew down and now they're shrinking back up again, you know, in the in cyclical fashion.
Mm-hmm. And, you mentioned a lot of the haircuts. It looked like, oh, these are like maybe hipster haircuts that are going to come back into fashion or that we're starting to see right now. And yeah, hopefully the same thing happens with the shorts, because I agree. Give me them gams.
Yeah.
Also,
that's what I'm paying to see.
Yeah.
Nick, that's
what you're paying to see?
Yeah.
That's what I'm paying to see for sure.
That's what got me hooked on basketball.
you're a fan of hogs, and you can see much more definition in the hog department.
Fan of hogs.
Nick is a fan of hogs. You know.
Well, we're all a fan of
Everyone
hogs.
Everyone is a fan of hogs. But butts, you know, legs. I mean, come
all
on.
Of it. And it helps gameplay, you know, it has a purpose.
Right. Less wind, you know, drag coming off shorts if they're shorter and tighter. I think Larry Bird had the tightest shorts, in my opinion, of this game.
Yeah. They were sculpting.
Right. It was too much for me. It just like it reminded me. It reminded me of like how we're all animals like that. Just like the amount of fucking meat I saw, like there was just like a Larry Bird's ass, just a bunch of meat. It was just a thick. It was a right, Nick. It was not
like a like if we're talking about Larry Bird's ass specifically though. This came up as we were watching. Not a bunch there though.
Yeah,
that was his ass is not.
It was it was
my
prominent.
Hands are demonstrating. It was just tightly packed. You know, yes. he doesn't have the biggest butt in this game even, but it's tightly packed into those shorts.
Yeah, his it felt like to be honest, and this might be my Laker fan bias, it felt like Larry Bird has more of the Hank Hill ass. He doesn't have a lot going on back there.
I think some
other players are a little more substantial.
He also likes mowing the lawn like Hank Hill too.
That's true, yeah.
It's not a Hank Hill ass, okay?
As he got older, I could see his glutes probably did diminish, right?
Yeah. I feel like there was less lower body. There was just less weight training back then, right? Mm. So, like, you know, you weren't going to see these super well-developed lower bodies that you might see from pro athletes today.
I don't like to think about asses.
A little leaner.
I don't. They were weird.
You're on the wrong show, Mitch. Yeah. This is what we talk about on this show.
Like, I know that a butt can be sexy. Of course, I get that. But they are when you think about like an ass, it's weird that we all have. It's like weird that we're all
sure
sitting on our butts and that. It's like ears or something. I don't like to think about ears too much either. The same
you
deal.
Just don't like thinking of bodies. You don't.
Any body part.
Cover those things up. Cover them up, Wags. I'm like the Protestant or what is it, Quaker? What's the approach I'm going for here?
You're puritanical.
Yeah.
Puritan. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Cover them up. Cover it up. I don't want
to
see.
You think everyone should be covered up from head to toe? Every inch of their body.
Every inch.
You're going to love it, 10 years in the future when we're just like brains in robotic bodies.
Or we have to cover our bodies because there's no ozone is probably the likely, sadly.
Not going to make it that far.
That's true.
The human race will make it maybe 6 more months. It's my prediction. Putting it on tape.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, look at this year. Look at this fucking year.
All right. So Robert Parrish, 00. He's pretty hot in the beginning of this game. We talked about him quite a bit. What happened in the first half that was exciting? Magic ran straight into the crowd at one point. The first half was, I would say. This might not be right because the score was never on the screen longer than like a millisecond. But
yeah,
it felt like the Lakers were dominating a little bit in the first half.
They definitely had a comfortable lead at some points.
Yeah, they were that Showtime offense, that full court offense was running. You know, a couple of nice dunks for Worthy. It was. Yeah, and that was the way it really did feel like the coming out of halftime that the Celtics were going to have to do something. Even though the Lakers, it wasn't like they were out to like a commanding lead at the half, but they definitely seemed like they had control of the tempo of the game.
Well, they were 10 points up, right, at the half. Yeah. I think it was like 58-68 Lakers.
Yeah.
And
first half Showtime, second half slow time.
It got heated fast though. I think it was in the second quarter when Magic's arm got grabbed and he got angry. And so he went over to the Celtics bench and was sort of like yelling at them. Wish I could hear what he said.
Weak. He wasn't going to do anything. Wags, sit down.
As you pet your cat.
Is that Wally or Irma? Yeah.
That's Wally. It's Wally again.
Wally came back for more.
Magic was just pleading for some sportsmanship from the Celtics in vain.
You are.
Unfortunately, as we would find out, his calls would be unheeded.
So then in the third quarter, Kurt Rambis gets clotheslined by who clotheslines him? Is it?
It was McHale,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so this was the big narrative about this
chokehold.
He got him by the throat and brought him down as he was on a breakaway. Because otherwise he would have dunked it. And it was, it's such a violent play. And it's one of those ones that you look at, those one of those pre-1990 NBA plays that is just like, oh, that would be a flagrant 2 nowadays. I mean, McHale would be ejected and maybe suspended for the next game. It would have been a series altering call. But it was just a common foul. He just, there was some fisticuffs and then Rambis went to the free throw line.
Now, Nick, do you like that? And for you guys too, for everybody, this isn't a question just for Nick. I always say this during Doughboys. I always address Nick, but everybody.
Are we not allowed to answer?
Everyone is allowed to answer. Do you like the kind of 80s tough, punch in the mouth style of basketball?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't. I like everyone to be friends. And I, you know what kind of style of basketball I like is who was it? Was it Lance Stevenson? Is that his name?
Yes.
Who blew in LeBron's ear?
Right. This so sort of I'm not touching you sort of like annoyance. Yeah.
I want that. I want kissing on the cheek. I want patting the butt of the opposite team. That's what I like.
You know who'll do some of that? Yeah. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I like a fight. I love to see the brawls. I like to see the random audience people getting flipped upside down just for being in the way. I love it.
I will say that I like that both eras exist because it is like that sort of that Smash Mouth basketball from back in the day is really like it's startling to see as we witness today. Yeah, it's just, yeah. You know, there are the. A lot of all-stars in this game. But I do really like to see that era of, like, I love to watch clips and it's like fascinating that it exists, but I like our current game. I like the current game as it is. I like that it's officiated a little bit more closely and you can't get away with just clotheslining someone and potentially injuring them very badly.
Oh God.
Do you like it, Mitch? Do you like the more aggressive?
I like it. I think that they're, here's what I like about it is that the Celtics were kind of getting bodied quite a bit. They were getting what did Tommy Heinsohn say? He said that they were going to start banging.
He said the players are really going to start to bang. And I got super excited, but that's not what he meant.
And he's right because it was getting too chippy. And I really liked that very 80s call. But my feeling is that like, when players are getting bodied and it was just like clear that the Lakers were being a bit more physical in the first half, like the Celtics pushed back and that kind of evens things out. You know what I mean? Like they did a couple things where they pushed back. Mm-hmm. And nowadays in the NBA, like it is that funny thing of like, oh, when one team is being kind of more physically aggressive than the other team and they're not getting called for it, it's just this advantage. And then if the other team retaliates and does something like that, someone will get ejected or teed up or whatever, and it doesn't kind of even the scales anymore. Nick, do you think that's
accurate? Yeah, I mean, I think there are if there's a criticism of things now, it's that they're almost maybe a little too quick to go to the flagrant foul and to to kind of nip that stuff in the bud. But what specifically was happening in this game, though? Let's not just say that it was like the Lakers were playing physically, and the Celtics retaliated. The issue was the Lakers were getting to the rim at will, and then the Celtics are like, "Well, we got to do something about it." And what they decided to do was to foul. And so, like, it was like that. That was a strategy.
The Lakers were being pretty physical, though. They were.
Yeah, I mean, they were playing.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing,
right? But it wasn't like that. Yes, but this wasn't just like, oh, they're bodying us, so we need to get back at them. It was more that just like, we don't have a way to slow down their offense. And so, you know, let's grab this guy by the throat and pull him to the ground.
If you were here right now, I'd fucking grab you by. I'd do the same thing.
So they got into foul trouble at the end, and Kareem actually fouled out in the fourth quarter. I mean, both teams seem to have a lot of foul trouble.
Interesting. Kareem fouled out. Interesting.
Kareem fouling out pretty consequential because this game ends up going into overtime, and they don't have the captain for that period. Can I just say this, Mitch? Because this was this to talk about this series. So we mentioned that the Lakers are up 2-1. They're at home. The previous game, the Lakers, when I was looking this up, the Lakers had blown out the Celtics, just absolutely dominated them. And so there was actually the coach Casey Jones of the Celtics. I looked this up. He had a quote going into the game, which was "no more layups." And so that basically that's kind of the what led to the provocation is that he was just sort of like let's start fouling people and let's go after them. And it worked. It worked out in their favor.
Lakers, I mean, the Lakers couldn't hit free throws, which we'll get to later. Mm-hmm. But
well, I mean, we can get to it now. They at the as Nick said, the last minute of the game was huge because they were just tied up like in overtime. They were just tied and just kind of like going back and forth for quite a while. Then at the very last minute, the Lakers had a couple free throws. I think it was like two sets of free throws.
Yeah.
That maybe only got 1 point, you know, one in.
So, and yeah. So the Lakers, I think they were up maybe five in regulation and the Celtics closed the gap and took it to OT. And then, yeah, I think it was Magic goes to the line first and bricks both free throws. Could have put the Lakers up two in overtime.
Damn.
And then at the other end, Larry Bird, you know, the MVP after his MVP season hits the shot to take the Celtics up two. And then the Lakers, there's more, you probably have the exact game flow in front of you, but then the Lakers have a little bit more time after that.
Right. And then, I just stopped taking notes, but
it was big game. James, Worthy gets the, goes up for the, and again, you know, no more layups. He's going to the rim. They foul him hard. And to Mitch's point, the Lakers weren't hitting their free throws. If your strategy is we're going to foul them to not allow those easy baskets, then if you're not going to hit your free throws, you're not going to, that strategy is going to work out. And and big game James, not yet big game James, not yet the clutch player that he had a reputation for, went up and missed one of two, could have tied up the game. So the Lakers are down one and the Celtics have the ball with like 15 seconds left or something like that. And that was
a little bit of a hack a shack there, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. Before anyone even knew about a Shaq.
Shaq was just a Shaq. Shaq at this point was a big baby himself.
Yeah.
Huge. Imagine how huge that
a
baby
giant
was.
Giant baby wearing size 14 shoes.
Oh boy.
Shaq was what at this point was in like,
he was 12 years
like,
old.
He was 12 years old and he was probably like what? 6 foot four or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's that's wild to think about Shaq being 12 in 1984.
That is weird to think about. He was probably watching this game.
Yeah, it must have been.
Yeah.
He probably took down fucking so many like juice boxes and you know what I'm saying? Like I'm just saying normal, like he probably went through
juice
that shit
boxes
like crazy.
Back then. It was those little barrels of
oh yeah.
Of barrels mysterious of juice. Colored liquid.
Barrels of juice. All right. So the Lakers swoop in the Celtics at the very end swoop in. And
it's 129-125. Celtics take it.
They take it.
Yeah.
At the very end. It was a very exciting last couple minutes for sure.
Yeah. For sure. The whole second half is pretty exciting. It's just like it's the Celtics have their comeback. There's a lot of back and forth. It gets very, very physical and you know, obviously we're tied going into OT. It's just like it's one of those things that you watch, and even now as a Lakers fan, too young to have watched this game at the time, but aware of it, it's like aware of it later in life. It's just like you watch that, and you're still just like, God, those missed free throws probably decided the title, because if Magic hits those two free throws, you know, and they're up two with 30 seconds to go. I mean,
their spirits would have been like up. As well, you know.
Yeah, and then if they come out ahead 3-1 after that game, they get three chances to win the title. I mean, that completely changes it. Instead, the Celtics after this game go on to win it in seven and win the Bird's first title.
It might not have been
Bird's first title. It was
the Celtics won in 1981.
So it was Bird's first win against the and only win over the Lakers and his second title.
Yes, it was. I think it was the only, because we didn't play you guys in 86.
No, yeah, 85. It was the Lakers. Lakers won the rematch, and then 87 beat them again. So another case for Lakers over Celtics. Lakers up 2-1 over Celtics in the finals matchups of the 80s.
Jesus. All right,
let's give out some donkeys.
Donkey.
The donkey.
That was me. That was me, right? By the way, you just said that.
All of our intros are you. The donkeys. The donkeys are awards we give out for arbitrary categories that we make up on the spot. We always give out most points, which has to go to the Boston Celtics. Sorry, Nick.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Do you have
hell yeah, baby?
Do you have what about best award? Dunk? Oh yeah, best dunk. This is interesting.
I think honestly, it was Worthy had a few actually, and Kareem had a nice alley-oop dunk. But
I would give it to Worthy. I feel like he was
Worthy had a base look. He had a few transition dunks, but he had one where he was on the baseline. He did this baseline move, went under the basket and dunked it with one hand, and that was pretty sweet and athletic. So I give it to Worthy for that one.
He was putting in the work.
Yeah.
I want to give best cameo to Jack Nicholson.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Margaret was there, and she just got snubbed right now.
She got snubbed. I give it to Jackie. But I do not endorse him in case anything ever comes out about him. I don't want this to be considered an endorsement.
I don't endorse eating a hoagie shirtless on a boat, just for the record.
Mitch, you got one?
I will give an award for game that looked like you just went swimming in a super chlorinated pool and looked at lights. I give that to the CBS broadcast team. It's funny to me because I'm just like, I watched Barry Lyndon just like whatever a couple weeks ago, and I had never seen it before. And that's like from the 70s, and it's like one of the most beautiful movies of all time. So then watching like this game, and it just like looks so much like shit. I was saying it was like hard to... It's almost like watching like a silent movie or something. It's like a little harder to pay attention. Like, yeah. like modern broadcasts do a great job of showing you different angles and really getting the action going. But then also there's just this weird thing with it too, where like, I know that, and it was an exciting game. It was a very exciting game, but it just feels like quicker and it feels like less of a deal. Like if you told me that the players like went home to their parents' house and like had dinner and was like, we won, I'd believe that. It feels like it doesn't. It just feels like way more subdued.
Yeah.
And it's just from the '80s. And obviously, I know it was a huge night or whatever. The Forum was popping, Nick, as soon as the seats were filled up. But it's just
your dunkie is for the CBS broadcast.
It's for the CBS broadcast.
Okay.
I am going to give hottest mustache to Sven Nader. Am I saying his name? It's Sven.
It's probably Sven.
I don't know. I think they said Nader on the broadcast. I think he's Dutch, but I don't know if it's S-W-E-N. I don't know if you say it's Sven or Sven.
The W is a V sound. Yeah.
Got it.
So, I'm sorry to your dad, Nick, Kurt Rambis, but I have to give to it's Nader.
He is your dad. We all agreed on it. And check on it.
We agreed. He's your dad.
Kurt Rambis is not my biological father, even though my mom had a crush on him. Dispel this rumor.
For anyone who doesn't remember, Nick had mentioned on a previous episode that his mom had a crush on him, and his dad would get a mustache just like him.
Yeah, my dad had a Kurt Rambis mustache. And then later shaved it in life when Kurt Rambis shaved his mustache as a coach.
So, yeah, that basically makes him your dad, I think.
Gabe, do you have a dunkie you want to give out?
I actually wrote down best look for Kurt Rambis. The note I wrote was, if Jeff Foxworthy put on Eugene Levy's glasses.
Yeah,
so that's my dunkie.
There is something very, brazen about just wearing regular glasses, not sports goggles, but just straight up glasses. Yeah, on the
it's
court.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's very it's
thick
wild.
Lenses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Hall of Famers that got mentioned here. You talked about Kareem, Worthy, Magic, Bird, Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale. Mm-hmm. A lot, but there are two other guys who had a big presence or had a presence in this game, or at least were on the rosters. Danny Ainge, who got some substantial minutes, and then sitting on the bench for the Lakers, Mitch Kupchak, two future GMs. So I'm going to give a dunkie for best future GM, not to Danny Ainge, but to Mitch Kupchak, the Lakers GM.
Wow.
Who engineered the Pau Gasol trade.
All right.
The most fucked up trade.
Worked out pretty nicely.
Trash. Maybe I'll give an award to Cedric Maxwell who maybe celebrates too soon. Nick, this is also the game where he we didn't even talk about this, but he does the choke symbol to Worthy.
Yeah.
He gives us.
I did not see that. That's wild.
Mm.
It was one of the
half dozen. He went like this?
Yeah,
he was like,
No, like the.
No, he didn't do the. He didn't do the Darth Vader choke.
He went like,
yeah, trying to do a force move on him.
And mine sounded a bit like Kathy.
Wow.
You know what? Right. I give an award for worst seats to Red Auerbach.
He was pretty far back.
That's a good one.
The forum. What are these, like row 7 or 8, Nick? What's the deal?
He probably he probably forgot to get to the game on time. Forgot to buy tickets in advance.
Jack Nicholson took his seat.
Yeah. okay. I think there's a can I give something for most biased TV analyst? Can I give that to Tommy Heinsohn?
Jesus Christ.
The Celtics analyst who they had for the national game covering the finals. This guy's not going to be nonpartisan at all.
Honestly, if you listen to him, that's probably the most unbiased he's been. And if you listen to any Celtics games, he's like insane. And in this game, he was like he tempered himself quite a bit.
Yeah, he was trying to behave, but we know what was going on in his head.
I think he was pronouncing Lakers, Lakers, which I thought was
disrespect.
All right, who won, Anastasia?
Okay, I got it. This is some crazy calculating.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that's... Get your calculator out.
Who won?
Okay, so I think the Celtics have 4, and the Lakers have 5. So the Lakers win it.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Did Jack Nicholson count as a Laker?
I did count him as a Laker.
That's fair.
But I also counted Tommy Heinsohn as a Celtic. So.
Okay. He is.
He is.
All right. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Lakers.
Hell yeah. It's settled.
You know what? They can have that win.
But it's actually more important than the game. We make it very clear.
Yeah, the Dunkies are more important.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, let's get into our mail basket. Today we have an email from Robert R. Subject, my wife doesn't like sports. He says, hi, cuties. This includes Gabe and guest, if applicable. So everyone here is a cutie.
Not applicable for guests.
So my lovely wife does not like sports at all. She listens attentively when I talk to her about it because it's something I like, and she's very sweet, but she doesn't find sports interesting or entertaining. My question is, how could I get her to give sports another try without being a jerk about it? I was thinking that if she watches a game with me, I could do something for her, like watch shows that she likes with her, do some more chores around the house, do a spa day with her, or something like that. Any thoughts on how to get my lovely wife to watch sports with me? Thank you. I love the show. Also, I won my fantasy league this year, even though it was cut short. I was having a great year and did surprisingly well for my first time playing fantasy basketball, inspired by your episode with Wagger, which was my first episode of the podcast.
Wow. Aww. Hey, I'm
cute.
Wagger.
Wow.
How about that? You?
Or actually, maybe that was Mitch. We don't know.
Might have been.
That's true. Great question.
It's a good question. It sounds like things are working out, though, right? Like, your wife is like, maybe not, you're never going to have 100% overlapping hobbits. Jesus Christ.
Hobbits?
I was trying to say hobbies, but I accidentally said habits, and then I corrected myself to hobbits. But yes, you're not going to have 100% overlapping hobbits as a married couple. One of you is going to like Sam and Frodo. The other one of you is going to like Merry and Pippin. It's just how things work out.
Just after dinner, you can all clean up the table together and sing a song.
Yeah, you can sing a song about it. A full song that we see all of. I think the
which is good.
It's very... I'm not saying it's not good. Just a full song. You're not going to have fully overlapping hobbies or interests. And if you, like, respect each other's spaces and, you know, You're not like, ugh, sports again. Oh boy, let me get out of here because I hate this. It's like, what else? Like, but that said, if you really want to, I think with the, with mutual, with like I'm trying to engender some sort of mutual interest, then like, yeah, it feels like maybe begin with a conversation, right? Of like, hey, what is there anything you do like? Because maybe you should. You're not going to like,
I don't know about that conversation.
That's the best opener.
Hey, is there anything you do like?
About sports, I mean. Because, like, I don't know, maybe like, hey, I noticed that you like this Olympic event. Like, what do you like about that? Or maybe, hey, maybe we can both get into watching this other, like, hey, you like the Tour de France. Maybe we'll both get into watching cycling together. And that'll be a way for us to find a sport we can both enjoy. For whatever reason.
Sounds like a real snooze couple, by the way.
Yeah.
I really think like what got me into sports is stories, to be honest. And I think one thing that you might want to try, Robert, is 30 for 30. Or
that's good.
There's so many good basketball documentaries, including The Last Dance, that I think a lot of people watched who weren't even into basketball. But
That could help.
And if you want her to get into like current players and current teams, just tell her stories. Like I remember I just was like telling my friend about Kawhi and like how his father was killed and stuff like that. And like, she was like, I don't know who this person is, but now I want to watch his games because he sounds interesting to me. And like the fact that he's not emotional and people make fun of him for that, you know, like like, now I want to watch him play games, you know? So I think stories help.
Yeah, I agree. Well, first of all, I want to say this question is really sweet that you're offering to do chores around the house so that your wife will watch an NBA game. I mean, I agree with Anastasia. I was someone who did not watch sports at all for a long time. And the thing that made me want to understand more about it was like to really get where the storylines were coming from and like these long time rivalries and friendships and all that stuff. I wanted to be fully kind of invested in everything. So it's a lot and it's hard to get someone into it because you have to really like read a lot and follow a lot of people on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. But I think starting with like some people that you think would be interesting to her, I mean, without knowing what her interests are or anything like that, I think just like finding people that have great stories, like Kawhi, like Anastasia mentioned, or, you know, LeBron or whoever it is that like you think might be of interest to her, because there's a lot of really cool backgrounds and stories and people who have fought really hard to get to their place in the NBA or the WNBA and have overcome like all kinds of adversity and all that stuff. So
Nick's right.
It's a great place to start.
Start with a conversation. Don't just go to games. Like I think just watching games without any backstory or information is sometimes boring if you don't like the sport. So have a conversation, be like, what do you like about this sort of thing? Like I was very annoying to my ex and I would like give the players nicknames and like talk constantly during games. But that's how I got into the sport. So if you're the kind of person who's like, please don't talk to me while I'm watching, then maybe she's not going to have fun watching it with you. But like, if you're open to having conversations while watching and being like, hey, you see that guy? Well, he actually hates this other guy on this other team or whatever.
That's actually a great point. That last thing, because I wonder what kind of sports fan you are, Robert. If you're like the hardcore fan of one team, and then you know sometimes that can be like, I know even with my wife Natalie, who does like basketball, doesn't consume it as voraciously as me, but we'll watch a game and enjoy it. We'll go to a game and enjoy it. Like if there are times I'm too into it, I can be, she just doesn't like that energy. You know, it's just like, well, now you're just locked into this game. You're only paying attention to this. You're like getting upset about the Celtics cheating or whatever.
Cheating.
So like if it's something you're really invested in, then maybe that's not, and that's maybe what your partner finds off-putting then maybe you can find something that you're not going to be as like you riled up about, that you can both be fans of or that you can watch together.
I got an answer for this.
Okay.
And this first one is probably the most helpful answer, specifically thinking about what we're going through right now, but take her to a live game.
There you go.
There's a couple things. One, a live game is big.
It's more fun, I would say.
That's huge. Two, following someone, like following a draft and seeing, like you guys were talking about, seeing the stories and then seeing someone as a rookie and like following their trajectory is always fun. I think that you also, to get people into sports, the team has to be like, I followed the Celtics all through the 90s when they were terrible, and that's when I was like really started getting into them. But there was hope with like Pierce and when he started getting good. And so that is helpful to have a team that's either on the rise or is good.
Right.
And then, and so like the draft and following kind of like young players. And I think that is also helpful. I think also like following something more fun, like wrestling or something, can be like a good gateway. Mm. But
yeah,
I think overall, I think the biggest thing that you can do is watch playoff sports, which is just about to happen.
That's true.
And watching playoff sports is like, it, the excitement is so high, and everything is just, you know what I mean? Like the season is on the line in seven games. It's you can wrap your head around it a little bit more of like, you win or you go home. And then it's, you know, and I think just getting someone, and then if you hit gold and it's like a great playoff series, then I think they'll just be hooked.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it's just like better gameplay. So it's mm-hmm. exciting right. to
yeah.
watch, right?
Yeah. And one final thing, she can listen to Dunktown, you know?
Yeah, Dunktown, great gateway.
Listen to the show. We're a gateway. And you don't have to be an expert to understand what's going on in the show.
Just be careful because she might get super into butts.
That's true. We don't take responsibility for that. All right. If you want to send us something, you can email us at hi@dunk.town or leave a message on our cutie hotline 903-420-DUNK. And, you know, tell us about what's going on with your favorite team, your favorite players. Ask us a question. Anything you got going
Whatever
on.
Whatever
you want to hear about it. Yeah. Nick and Mitch, thank you guys so much for being here. Do you guys have anything you'd like to plug?
What a delay. No. Thank you for having us. Yeah, no. No, you told us bad news.
Yeah, bad news. No way.
Everyone should listen to Doughboys and sign up for your Patreon. You guys are awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you for saying that.
We love Doughboys.
Thank you.
Great show.
God yeah. bless you.
You guys... So with the plug curse, did you guys just curse yourselves, basically?
Well, it depends on if you guys get canceled, in which case we will distance yeah, ourselves we from might. You. Delete all your episodes. you guys are the best. Thank you for spending a chunk of your day with us.
Yeah,
we really appreciate
your Saturday
it.
Inside, you know, on Zoom with us. Thank you so much.
Well, there's not much. I wouldn't be going out now anyways.
Right.
I would be in this exact same spot, most likely.
Nice.
Great. We'd love to hear it. All right.
But also, we're very happy to be. We love you guys.
What
Thanks for having
what
us.
What a delight.
Thanks.
So
always,
sweet.
Always the best.
Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone who came along in this journey with us. We love you guys, too. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
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 Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram Agata Monica. Anastasia is on both as Anastasia Vigo. Check out our website. It's dunk.town. If you like the show, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It really helps us and we really appreciate it. We have t-shirts, stickers, and hoodies available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingas for all of your design work. Thank you to Andrew Clotworthy for our original theme song.